to This Magical Life, a weekly podcast hosted by two witchy friends.
I'm Victoria. I'm a mom, I manage a shop, and I teach Teen Witch Academy.
I'm Margaret. I'm a magical bard, and I love tarot and astrology.
We're both witches and dog people.
Hi, Victoria.
Hey, Margaret. How are you today?
I'm swell, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome. We're recording this on Eclipse Day, even though you'll be listening to it much later. So we were just talking about the eclipse.
We have
our fancy Ronzoni pasta box viewer.
Yes.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Exactly. I just hope that you were all careful when you were enjoying the eclipse.
Yes.
Again.
It happened.
It already happened. That's weird. Like, that's always weird with me. Like, whenever we record ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, you know? Like, oh, it's raining so hard, isn't it?
It does. I feel like we have the sort of vibe on our podcast that it does feel like anyone who's listening is just like here in the shop with us hanging out. And we're just like, hey, look at this thing happening, but don't actually look at it.
Yeah, don't look at
it. In this case.
But feel it.
Feel it and look through the pasta box. Look through the pasta box of revealing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah, we're looking forward to that this afternoon. And we have, you know what? We should probably just jump right in because I think so.
We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So we, you know, once again are doing our witchy reads.
Spring edition.
Yeah, spring edition. And of course, you know, we're supposed to pick three books and, you know, talk about three books. Well, you know, I talk about each book for 3 hours is what I was just saying to Margaret. But I'm like, I look at Margaret, brought like her three books, and I look and I have six. Okay? So I don't know why I can't even follow simple guidelines. I don't want to say rules because there's
no rule. It's not a rule.
But
yeah.
Guidelines, and I'm like, so this is just making me laugh. Well, so I may have to post a picture of like,
you all know, of them. Yeah. It's totally great. Especially because all the books I brought, I have not read yet. They're books I'm excited to read. So I don't have a ton to say about them. So
okay.
The fact that you brought six is completely fine.
It just makes me laugh.
100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, should we jump in?
Yeah, let's jump right in. Okay. Reading is fundamental.
It really is, especially for the magical and the magic curious, because one of the best ways to get knowledge is to read.
You know, every time that we go to a shop and like they're any, in any way, metaphysical, esoteric, anything, witchy, even new agey, I am drawn to the books that they have.
Same.
I want to just look at all the books and I usually want to buy like most of them.
Yeah.
And you know, you just had an interesting thing happen to you that I don't know if we talked about on our podcast, but when you got the Human Design book.
Yeah.
Because it kept calling to you.
It did. It did. I kept walking by and thinking to myself, okay, Margaret, you've got enough things you're studying. Do you really need to add another thing to the mix? And I kept walking by this book, Understanding Human Design by Karen Curry. And I picked it up a couple times. I thumbed through it. I'm like, this is a really cool book. I've like dipped my toe into human design, mm-hmm. but I like never have done more than that. And like, and I just kept putting it back down. I was like, no, I don't have a lot of room for books. Maybe I'll get the Kindle, you know, but I was like, it'd also be kind of annoying to do this book with a Kindle.
Yes.
Like, it's nice to be able to flip back and forth.
Yes.
Right? Which you can do with a Kindle, but it's just not as easy. And so I kept walking by it, kept picking it up. Then I was like, let me see how much it is. And I looked at that. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think I must have walked by / picked it up like 5 or 6 times.
Okay. I'm going to say yes, that's correct number.
Yeah.
Because yes, you did. And yeah, it was. I think it was just calling to you.
It was. And then I just remembered, you know, like if I were advising someone on buying a crystal mm-hmm. and they weren't looking for a particular kind of crystal, mm-hmm. I would say pick up as many crystals as you can, one after the other, not all at once, because that would muddy the waters.
They're a little heavy.
And see how they feel in your hand. That too. See how they feel in your hand.
Uh-huh.
You know, and buy the one that calls to you. And mm-hmm. so I kind of felt the same way about this book. And I was like, you know what? I'll make room. Mm-hmm. I'll make room for this one book.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I mean,
you brought it in. It's a good one. We all loved it. It was actually a lot of fun learning so much about ourselves together.
Yeah.
Which I really loved. But you know what? It brings me to another thing. Okay. You're talking about a live book, a real book, a book.
A live book.
A live book.
It's alive.
And the Kindle.
Yeah.
Now, I have a Kindle, too. Yep. So, okay.
Great for
no
travel.
No judgment, okay? To me, there's a definite thing where I'll go to see a book or I'll see a book online or something. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can definitely, you know, download this. Like a story or, you know, something where I'm reading it straight through.
Yep.
But then a lot of the books that we get for, you know, our witchiness, our, you know, the things that we want to learn in the metaphysical world, they're kind of like the back and forth book. You know, we're like, okay, now I'm on page 80. But wait, I have to remember what that was on page 5. So, and those are books, I think, that we have to buy not on the Kindle.
Yep.
Because the Kindle's great, and I love having the Kindle. But, okay, now I'll really make you laugh. So I have, of course, two of her books, Rise, Sister, Rise, and
Light
is the New Black.
I have Letters to a Starseed.
Okay. And I, of course, have them, you know, the book.
Yeah.
And I have them on Kindle.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because sometimes I want to read them at night. Or actually, I have them on my iPad.
These are the kind of books where, like, you could read it straight through or you could turn to a random page and be like, this is my insight for today. Right.
So I have that one because there's sometimes, like, when I can't sleep, I want to read some. Not to make me sleepy, but I'm like, you know what? This reminds me of something that I read. And because, you know when you can't sleep, you're thinking about everything in the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, so so there's some books, yes, like Rebecca Campbell, for instance, that you need both.
Yeah.
You need the live book.
And the easy access anywhere book.
And the Kindle or iBook or whatever you use. What's the other one called? Noodle? No.
No,
that would be fun. Nook. Noodle.
That'd be a cute name for
noodle.
One.
Noodle. I got to get my noodle book. So yeah. So that's my little thing.
Yeah.
About, like I'm guessing you probably do the same. I decide which is which.
The only caveat would be like some of the astrology books for my course are out of print. And so to get one in print is very hard, but like they are available on Kindle. So I get them on Kindle. And then that is like a lot of digital flipping back and forth, which is, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like sometimes it's just not available in print, or it would be cost prohibitive to get it in print. So I would say like half of my astrology books are on Kindle.
Okay.
But whenever I can, I like to get them in the physical. Yeah. I also am someone when it comes, so where fiction books are concerned, I almost treat them like they're, you know, like these things that you read and you never dog ear pages, you never write in them, et cetera. With nonfiction books, I'm the complete opposite. I'll dog ear pages, I'll write in them.
Okay.
Like it's a completely different reading experience for me.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel about writing a book?
Yeah.
Because I'm the same way, I think.
Yeah.
Nonfiction, all of my books, I kind of write things or I highlight them or I underline or like put an arrow, remember this.
Yeah. Well, and then you never know. You might be flipping through and you're like, oh, there's that thing I wanted to remember.
Right.
So like, and especially with, I didn't do this with Letters to a Starseed, but I probably would do it on subsequent rereading. But on Rise, Sister, Rise, which I just started today, I'm kind of treating it, you know, like she recommends having a pencil and paper or pen and paper handy so that you can journal as you go. But I kind of like doing it in the book because it's like then I'm interacting directly with the book.
Okay. I like that.
Right.
Okay.
And also if I want to recall what was being revealed to me as I was reading it, I don't have to have two books handy.
Right.
Now I do have a separate notebook that I use for my mystical things, you know, like, which is separate from my Book of Shadows also. So I've got plenty of journals already happening, and that may be another reason why I'll sometimes write, you know, directly into the book. But I kind of feel like it brings me a little bit closer to the message that way.
Agreed. I agree with you. What I also like to do is I use GoodNotes a lot on my iPad.
That's a good app.
And I now have a Rocketbook
notebook
where I can write things and then import them in, you know, whatever. And I like to be able to import then that into the GoodNotes as well.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So I do that on any of my books that I have that are on my, just really on my iPad.
Yeah.
Because I can't really do it on my Kindle. But, you know, yeah. And it just is so funny because we all have, like, so many things now. Like, the Kindle, the iPad, the phone, you know, I don't know. So it's kind of just funny because I'm, like, trying to remember, wait, is it on my phone?
Yeah. It can be hard to recall. Yeah. There's so many places things can be.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Staying digitally organized is a whole other.
Yes. Yes. That would be a whole other podcast. Okay. Would you like to start with a book?
Sure. Yeah.
Great.
I'm going to start with You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance by Chani Nicholas. I'm holding it up to you like you've never seen this book.
And I have seen it, but yes, yes.
Yeah, so what I love about this book, and like I said, I haven't read it yet, but I'm excited to, is I think for someone really just starting to get into astrology, it'd be a really good resource. But for me, you know, I'm not new to astrology anymore. For me, what I really like about Chani's whole vibe is how empowering she is. They are. I don't know her. I don't know Chani's pronouns. Sorry, Chani.
If you're listening.
Yeah, if you happen to be listening. Because I think we'd also be friends.
Yes.
Our friend group is just
Our friend group is huge. Rather large.
And mostly mystical. Yeah. With the exception perhaps of Ron Livingston. I don't know what his spiritual beliefs are.
Wouldn't it be, Ron, if you're out there, let us know.
I imagine this running joke will never get old.
I actually imagine him as a Buddhist. That's all I'm going to say. I feel a very Buddhist energy from him.
Yeah. Ron, if you haven't tried Buddhism, you might want to give it a go.
I have some books for you.
Just message us. But like, so I have her app and I listen to her weekly readings and stuff. And even when the astrology is challenging, what I like about her is her beliefs align with mine, that there's always an opportunity. You know, there's always something to be empowered through it, to be learned from it. And I really, I'm looking forward to this book because I feel like it's going to do that. You know, it seems like from first glance that it focuses mostly on the sun, moon, and rising sign. But I could be wrong because now I'm seeing like Pluto and stuff mentioned. So, you know, I'm looking forward to reading it. But I think for anybody who's just getting into astrology, she's a great resource. And this book, I think, would be a great read.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it will be too. I've only read parts of it.
Okay.
You know, I'm that person too, that I like read parts
of it. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It's your book. You can do whatever you want with it.
Exactly. I'm going to do two books at a time.
I think that's a good idea for you.
Well, this one, the first one's called Lighting the Wick, and the second one's called Reading the Leaves. But they're both written by Sandra Wright and Leanne Marama?
Okay.
I think she is the owner of Pentagram in Salem.
Awesome.
And she owns the Zodiac Tea Room, and she does tea leaf readings there, actually. We were trying to get into, but we couldn't, you know. Of course, we're like, hey, of course she's going to have an appointment, like, you know, Wednesday between, like, 2 and, you know, 2:05. But, you know.
When it's Tuesday
then,
now.
Yeah, and then shocked, you know, oh, my goodness, I can't believe we didn't get our appointment. But the Zodiac Tea Room, I think that's in Beverly. I don't think it's in Salem. I think you have to go over that little bridge. But anyway, these two books, I brought them both because I happen to be doing a lot of research right now. This is not a sales pitch, but a lot of research for a like a witchy class, almost like, hey, you want to become a witch? And you're not, like, you're a little confused, like a serious class in the shop. So I've been reading, like, a lot of books that kind of are very easy to understand.
Yeah.
You know, that they're going to go through all the steps. Because, of course, for Reading the Leaves especially, they're starting with, like, okay, you probably, you know, drank a cup of tea, but that's it. So I like both of these books. And because, you know, they wrote both of them, I thought I would just talk about both of them. They're both really amazing. Lighting the Wick is, of course, using candle magic. And Reading the Leaves is, of course, tasiography, reading tea leaves. So
lovely.
I think that they're both great how-to books. And they're both great because, like, Reading the Leaves, it has recipes in it. That I think that both of their families made in the past, which is really nice. Lighting the Wick, I actually did an entire class based on my reading after I read this book. It was awesome. It's kind of a quick read, and afterwards I was just like, yes. I was just called to now teach people about, you know, about using candle magic.
Love it.
I just find them both very inspiring.
Fabulous. So, yes. Okay, my next book is called Waking the Witch, Reflections on Women, Magic, and Power by Pam Grossman, and who is also the host of the Witch Wave podcast. So this book I bought in Salem. I think I bought it at Wicked Good Books, if I remember correctly.
They moved.
Oh, did they?
Did I tell you that?
No.
Okay, for everybody that's listening.
Yeah.
So they moved across from Blackcraft Cult. It's like kind of like diagonally across. They have like, it's like half a toy store and half like a bookstore.
Cute.
Or maybe like, you know, some percentage like that. But yes, she expanded her business, which I just think is
that's
so exciting.
Awesome. Good for you, Wicked Good Books.
I know. So really exciting.
Congratulations.
But yeah, so if you're ever in Salem, go to Wicked Good Books. It's across from Blackcraft Cult on Essex Street.
So One of the things that actually first drew me to this book is really funny, because usually I say, like, author blurbs don't actually usually draw my attention.
Okay.
And a lot of readers and authors do feel that way. They're a necessary part of traditional publishing if you go down that path. But what drew me is that this has a blurb from the singer Nico Case.
Okay.
Now, my oldest sister's dog was named after Nico Case.
Okay.
And she was just such a lovely dog, and we all miss her and love her. She crossed the Rainbow Bridge years ago, but we still talk about her because she was just a little sweetheart. She's a little 3.5-pound Pomeranian.
Oh, I love it.
With black fur and exotropic vision. So she was just a little sweetie. So that's what grabbed my eye first, because it's in like bold capital gold letters. And then I was like, oh, this is actually something I would be interested in reading. Like, I didn't even actually read Nico Case's blurb necessarily. I just saw her name. So I feel like I was pushed to buy this book by the dog Nico's spirit.
Okay.
And I haven't read it yet, but I am looking forward to it. I do have plans to write a novel that takes place in Salem during the witch trials at some point in time.
Okay.
In fact, I was getting some story ideas from it earlier today, so that was fun. Probably because I picked up this book. So I bought a bunch of books, you know, about Salem, and we've learned about Salem. We've gone there lots of times, but it never hurts to deepen the research more.
Learning is
everything.
Really good. I don't know. There must be some, like, learning is, but I couldn't remember. So learning is really good.
Learning is everything. So I'm really looking forward to this. To this book, and I wanted to share it with everybody.
I think you'll enjoy it. I did it for book club.
Okay.
I want to say maybe it came out around the beginning of COVID, maybe 2019, 2020. Does it say in there?
2019.
Okay. So, yeah, I did it during a Zoom book club. I read it during a Zoom book club. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Thank you.
It really helps you kind of go on like a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that this is not about Salem's history.
No.
But, I did kind of want to read it because it was in a collection of books that I bought about Salem's history. And just like, you know, I'm a witch. For the most part, I'm kind of leaning more towards being a mystic these days. But I was trained in witchcraft, so I'm very curious to kind of like see. It looks like there's a lot of crossover here between like talking about this and feminism. And
yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
There is. I consider myself a witch, but self-taught because I've been practicing for so long. I haven't done any, you know, course that, you know, there was no course. You know, 8 million years ago, there was no course.
It wasn't 8 million years ago.
It was almost. It was 7 million. but I felt like that book could be a journey for you, whether you were just starting out, whether you had been doing it for years, like, so anybody in between there too. Yeah. Like, you know, I think it's a nice book, and I think it's nicely written.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you for sharing.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll do another two books.
Yes, please do.
Because I'm extra. Okay, so two of the other
extra
books that
awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That I brought in. One is called Moon Spells, an enchanting spellbook of magic and rituals by Aurora Kane, which is a really, it's a cute little book. Oh my God, maybe it's like 6 or 7 inches tall.
So adorable.
But I liked it because in it, it talks about the phases of the moon, of course, because it's called Moon Spells. So each phase, there's like a section, like a chapter on, you know, on each phase of the moon with some spell work or some journaling prompts.
Nice.
And I found it's just like quick little things, okay, that they say, and like quick little spells. But I found that just kind of reading the spell title sometimes just did something in my brain to kind of make me want to write a spell about that subject. So
I
did was I would kind of like read what they were talking about, and I was like, okay, but I'm not seeing exactly that. So I would put my own spin on it.
Love it.
And I love that. It made me like each, like you would think that this book would take you, I don't know, like I not very long to, if you read it, you know, cover to cover, because it's short. But, like, I like the fact that it really made me think and think about my craft and think about how I would want to either help myself or help somebody else, you know, that was looking for a spell for that. So I really liked it. I just felt like it was just enough to get you thinking.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. And I think that this book is great for anybody who's starting out in with a practice, and maybe they're like, well, I'm just going to start with the moon because that's something that, you know, I can understand because I could see it.
Yeah.
But I also think it's really good for somebody who's been doing it for years and years. You know, it's, you know, some people though, if they've been doing it for many years, they may be like, oh, you know, it may be a little simple, but I really think that it just, there's enough information to kind of provoke your brain to be like, let me see where I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Take this. So I really like this book. But again, this book would be great for somebody who is starting out with any sort of moon practice.
Love it.
The other book is called The Lunar Year, Moon Magic Through the Seasons by Allison Davies. This book, I love books like this. It's broken up by month.
Nice.
And each month has like specific things, like if there's a full moon, what's it called? You know, if it has like, if it's the snow moon or the harvest moon or, you know, I of course can't think of any moon names right now, but you get,
the
you
wolf
get,
moon.
There you go. You get the hint.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it talks about,
I think there's a worm moon too. Sorry, go ahead.
There is. Then it talks about what the sign of the month is. Now, I know that the signs don't fall like, you know, January 1st to January 31st.
Yeah.
But, you know, that you still get the, you know, you get the thing that like February is about like being Aquarius. You know, a lot of, you know, it takes, I guess Aquarius goes until like the 20th or so of February,
yeah, it's
right?
Most
so
of the month.
It's most of the month, you know. But what they all do is they tell you some moon spells that you could do for different things going on in your life. Some of the months have like little recipes or little things that you could do to, you know, kind of draw in that energy of the moon that month or just of the month itself. And I really thought that this was great for somebody who's starting out.
Love it.
You know, maybe you don't know what to do and maybe you don't want to ask somebody because you feel like, oh, I, you know, I feel a little silly. First of all, never feel silly. But second of all, I think this book is something that can help you on your way. Get you started on your way to your craft.
What a lovely pair of books.
So I really loved it.
I'm so glad you brought six. These are all good shares. No, I'm serious. They are. All right, so my third one is Rise, Sister, Rise.
Oh, my God. I'm going to try not to scream now.
The Wise Wild Woman Within by Rebecca Campbell. And listeners, you know how big fans we are of Rebecca's work. It's just so special to us. And so I hadn't read a single page of this when I brought it in this morning because I literally just finished Letters to a Starseed last night. But I was here a little bit early, so I started reading. And already I'm like, oh, my gosh. Just in reading the start of Rebecca's story, which I've heard her speak about before, but there's something special that happens when you read something. But in reading it, it's just like, oh my gosh, yes, this, 100% this. And like so many of the things that she writes about feeling, obviously her experiences are different than mine. I was not an ad executive. like a creative director.
No, yes. But that,
an advertising
that's okay.
company, which is, you know, like I just wasn't that. It's not good or bad. It's just not the same. so I'm not saying we have the same journey, but there's a lot of moments in her journey that she writes about that I'm like, yes, I've had that moment. I've had that feeling, or I'm having that moment. I'm having that feeling. And it's so soothing to be guided by a text that has gone before you. There's a line in her Rise, Sister, Rise chant. It's something like, when I rise first, I rise for you. And it's so beautiful because I feel like I'm only 16 pages into this book and that line just like encompasses this whole book.
Yes.
But the other thing that I want to say about this book is that we are going to her Rise, Sister, Rise retreat at the Omega Institute this summer. And
so excited.
I'm so excited. And I wanted to make sure I read this well before then so that I have time to integrate and work with it. Because it's just absolutely, her work is just so beautiful. And one of the things I really like about her books is the fact that they're not always completely linear. So I really like that because usually what I do is I will read it through the first time. And then, you know, if I want guidance one day, I'll just flip to a random page and okay, Soul Stories, I'll read that. You know, so it's a really nice approach to her books that I appreciate. And I know for some readers it might be new, a new way to look at a book. Because you can read it straight through. But you know, I'm really looking forward to this one. And of course I'll read Light as the New Black after it. I know I'm reading them out of order, but it's okay.
I think it's
in order for me.
I think it's okay. That's what you're called to do.
Exactly. So
what
I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, Rise, Sister, Rise, like you said, we're going to go see her and, you know, do the entire seminar. I mean, I love that book. I don't want to say I'm making my daughter come, but I strongly advised her that she should come because, you know, I think that it's just important. To me, Rebecca Campbell kind of symbolizes, I don't want to be like how a woman should be because that seems like such a crazy thing to say, mm-hmm. but almost like, you know, she sees something in being a woman and then projects it out to everybody else that you could see like, okay, like, you know, being a woman doesn't have to be that, like, you know, you're some like second rate citizen or you come second for everything or like you have to do everything for your family first or you don't, you know, she puts things in a way that makes it feel like not that you have to be like that, like bad bitch energy or anything crazy like that, but like, you know, the way that you should, I know I'm not making sense. Kind of like
no, you
the
are.
That you should, you know, be to like be putting yourself first, but without being like, I'm putting myself first, everybody. And, you know, because the truth is the better you take care of yourself, the better you can take care of everybody else.
Yeah. I mean,
and she gets that point across to me more than any other person I've ever read.
She really models a life of led in moderation and soul led. And I think that whatever your soul is calling you to do, if you can follow her example of living from that soulful mm-hmm. place, mm-hmm. you're more likely to feel aligned and like do what your soul came here to do. And I think that she does such a good job of embodying that and being
yes.
open about it with everybody.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like, so that it's, you can see that you have infinite number of chances in your life to start living that way if you choose to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, what was that thing like? You're like, what would Jane do?
Yeah. What would Rebecca do?
What would Rebecca do? Like, I kind of think like that a little bit because I'm like, I really like the way that she handles herself. I guess that's a really short way of me saying that whole blurb craziness that I just went off on. But she makes me so like, you know, her ways of being. And so, yeah, I'm very much being like, what would Rebecca do? And, you know, she's not about blaming everybody else.
Right.
It may not be your fault that you're there, but you don't have to blame people. Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, try to go within and, mm-hmm. you know, find what you're meant to do. I just love her. Oh, my God.
Same. Yeah. Same.
Good
All
book
of her
choice.
Work is just,
I actually
thank you.
Pulled my copy out because I'm going to read it again. And
nice.
Yeah. Because I read it like, I don't know when it came out, but it was a few years ago.
Okay.
And I've become that person that I read a book. And I'm like, I don't remember what that was about. Like, you know,
I think once you've read enough books, yeah. my mom is that way. And she's such a voracious reader mm-hmm. that like, there's no way any human could possibly hold all that
no.
in their head.
No, you
she's
can't.
She's read voraciously her entire life. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
Go easy on yourself. That's why we buy the book, right? Like otherwise yep. we would just go borrow it.
There's an author, Ellen Hildebrand, and I've read all of
yes.
her books.
Yeah.
But if somebody was to say like, you know, what's the Castaways about? I'd have to be like, okay, what does the cover of that one look like? Okay, you know, I'd really have to think, and I wouldn't be able to give them a lot of detail because I've read all the books, and I'm not saying that they're all the same or anything like that. It's just there's too much.
Yeah.
I have so much in my brain sometimes, so I cannot remember books.
That's okay.
So
you're forgiven.
That's a great book. Okay, I'll do my last two.
Yay!
One is a new book that I just got. It's called Moon Meditations.
It's beautiful, by the way.
365 Nighttime Reflections for a Peaceful Sleep. Obviously, you don't read this book straight through every day. You read. There's something for you to read. You know, like almost like things for you like to think about it at the point where you're relaxing in the day.
Yeah.
And that will kind of get you off to sleep without you stressing about anything. So it's not so much about thinking about your whole day, because I don't know about you, but when I think about my whole day, I'm like, oh, I should have done that differently.
Oh, okay.
You know, or I shouldn't have said that. You know, things that I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have worded it that way to the kids that I'm sure that they don't think about ever again. But like, I'll think about that for like days and be like, I wish I could change that. No, this is not like that. This is really about, you know, just, you know, one of the things is like own your authority.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're just like little, I want to say blurbs, but I don't want to take away from the author or anything that it's just, you know, but it's like little paragraphs.
Like a devotional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, kind of, you can journal on it and then kind of go off to bed and you're not like, you're not stress thinking. I like it.
Awesome.
So I thought it was really good. And I love to read it every night. And then my last book is, I'm in the process of reading this. I may be on page 10.
That's okay.
A Year in the Enchanted Garden, Cultivating the Witch's Soul with Spells, Crafts, and Garden Know-How. And it's by Monica Crossan. I'm going to say Crossan.
Sure.
Okay. I love this book. So far, it's just like each chapter has like things that you need to do for your garden. So first of all, of course, you have to like gardening.
Yeah.
You know, to read this book.
Well, you can read it and not like it.
But
you won't get as much out of it.
Yes. You're going to get the most out of it if you like to garden. And it talks, it also breaks the months up so that you kind of know what to do for each month, like what you need to do in your garden. No, clean out your garden, or it's time to plant whatever seeds it's time to plant. You know, I'm bad at that stuff. But I like it because it gets me really excited for my garden. She's got like some recipes in here and some poems and songs. And I just think it's a delightful book. Like I said, I haven't really read it yet. I'm in the process of reading it. So the cover is beautiful. It's got these like little owls on it and everything.
Nice.
And I love it. I think that I think that she's a really good writer. And I like the way that she put this book together.
Great.
So if you're really into your garden and you're really into being witchy and you're really into spells, crafts, and then this is the book for you.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're going to post pictures of these books on our Instagram so that you can see what they look like.
We are.
Not that we judge books by their cover, but let's be honest, everybody does. But it just helps you find them.
It does.
You know?
It does. And, you know, there's something we said, like if you want to, you know, read a book about something soothing, you kind of don't want it to be like a neon pink, you know, you kind of want it to be like a blue or a purple or something. So yeah, we do all judge books by their cover.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do.
Let's just not judge people.
Good move. I thought it would be fun to pull a card from the Pocket Rose Oracle, which is by Rebecca Campbell. Because I feel like when I'm picking an oracle deck, the cards are, of course, of paramount importance. But I feel as though more than tarot, because it kind of is an established system, right? The oracle deck, the oracle guidebook, there's more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much like writing a book. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a little bit more personalized. And, of course, you know, like, the deck itself can be very individual. So I thought it'd be fun to pull from this because I'm gushing about Rebecca Campbell's books.
And this deck just came out, everybody. Maybe within the past couple weeks, because it's a smaller deck than the first one that came out. And it comes in this really like fancy little metal tin.
Yeah.
So you could just like throw it in your purse or your bag or whatever.
It's exactly.
And the book
is
even very cute.
The book is adorable. Yeah. I'm kind of in love with it.
Yeah.
You can kind of see, like, already it's showing signs of use because I've just been using it so much. It's really cute. But one of the things that Rebecca talked about in a video she made about this oracle, this pocket oracle, was how surprised she was by how much information she was able to retain in the book and on the cards,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool because the cards are still just as beautiful as the full deck. And yes, I have the full deck too, but we're pulling from the pocket oracle because I'm sitting next to my purse and it was convenient. So, Victoria, would you like to pull a card?
Sure. Let's see.
For the collective.
Yes, I would. Okay. This card is Brothers of the Rose.
Ooh.
Sacred Masculine, Protection, and Support. It's a really beautiful card. It's four men. But in the middle is a woman who appears to be with child and wearing, it looks like she's wearing like a flower crown, like a flat, right?
Yeah,
like
it does.
Carnation or peony or something. It's really beautiful. The colors, of course, are beautiful. I know you guys are like, you say that about every deck. I do. They're all beautiful.
We choose beautiful decks to share, though. So, okay, so this one says, this is a card of the sacred masculine. Like the feminine, the sacred masculine exists within each one of us. And together, we're all being called to balance both energies within us. The sun and the moon, solar and lunar, perhaps this is what it means to birth a new world. The sacred, mature masculine is something so needed in our world. It's the part of us that lives in deep honor and reverence of the feminine. It recognizes the goddess within all of life, including the earth, and is committed to protecting and living in devotion to the feminine. The sacred masculine knows that striving and overpowering, enduring and conquering are not helpful. The sacred masculine is strong and tender, protective but not defensive. This card could be a sign that you're being called to work on the sacred masculine energy within you that's maturing and rising. It could be that you're being called to work on ancestral healing of the paternal line. It could be an indication that you're being called to invoke or acknowledge the sacred masculine in those around you, or it could represent the sacred masculine appearing in your life. The sacred masculine exists within all of us. The Brothers of the Rose are encircling you so that you can do your sacred work, so that you can be part of the return of the goddess on this earth. The rose is their emblem, and they wear it proudly on their hearts. The soul inquiry, and I love that each card has like a soul inquiry or an integration step, or you know, each card has another thing you can do to take it further. So this one is a soul inquiry, which is a really good way to use, like, to do journal prompts. And it asks, how are you being called to work with the sacred masculine?
So, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I really love these cards.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're very beautiful.
An interesting thing, I have all of Rebecca's decks because why not?
Right.
They're all amazing. I even have her new one on pre-order, by the way, Ancient Stones.
When's that coming out again?
June. Okay. I think I want to say like the 25th or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
June.
I pre-ordered it, so it will show up at my door, and I'll be really excited that yes. It's here. But interestingly, when I first got this deck, I didn't connect with it a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous, and I was like, I'm going to keep it because I just love it, and mm-hmm. I love her work. But after I did the Rose Mystery module in the Inner Temple Mystery School, I had a completely different feeling toward this deck. And now it's very special to me.
Okay.
And I connect with it very deeply.
Okay.
So
that's excellent.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting because I'm not much of a gardener. And
right.
I don't, you know, like there are other people in my family who are very good with flowers. And I'm not one of them. I wish I was. I'm not. So for me, I was kind of like, oh, roses are nice. Yeah. They're okay. They're out there.
Okay.
But like, learning about the symbolism of the rose.
Sorry.
There could be a rose coming for you right now with its thorns and everything. But like, you know, I just didn't really connect with it too deeply.
Mm-hmm.
But the Inner Temple Mystery School, I don't know why I can't say that word today, really changed all of that. And now this is one of my favorite decks in the world.
Okay. But I've had that too, where you buy a deck because you're like, oh my gosh, this is so pretty. And then you bring it home and you don't connect.
Yeah.
But you kind of put it to the side for a little bit and then something happens in your life. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I totally get this deck now.
Yeah.
So it just, sometimes it's just meant for you to get it and then like put it to the side
and wait.
And then, you know, but yeah, it is a beautiful deck. The funny thing was when the deck first came out, not this size, but the bigger one.
Yeah.
And I was like, the Rose Oracle, why is that a peony on there? And I was like, well, of course it's a rose. Like, yeah, whatever. You know, I just remember thinking that. I don't know why. And, you know, it of course is a beautiful pink rose, but for some reason, maybe I needed my eyes checked at that point.
Maybe your brain was just like wanting you to focus on peonies.
Maybe. But it's such a beautiful deck. And yeah. No, thanks it for is. Sharing that.
Oh,
and thanks
of course.
For bringing the deck.
Happy to. Do you have a You Know You're a Witch If?
I think that mine is You Know You're a Witch If you go to the bookstore and you just really want them to have a witchy section. Like a Barnes & Noble.
I love that.
Or like, you know, an R.J. Giulia or Breakwater Books even. Like you want them to have some sort of witchy section, you know, which is like bigger than like 3 books.
Right.
So, you know, yeah. Because I of course love going to places like Pyramid Books where you can kind of go and they're, you know, everything. It's just all witchy books or, you know, but I think that that's my my thing. Like when you really feel like those are the books that you connect with, and you end up like now that I'm older, these are the only books that I really buy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Do you have one?
I do. Have you seen that meme that's like, ultimate escape room challenge? You're in a bookstore. You have an hour to get out. The end. The door is open, by the way.
Yeah,
you can leave at any time.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel like because anyone who is witchy or magical or mystical, constantly thirsting for knowledge.
Yes.
You know, like going into a bookstore, unless it's like the size of a little free library, you're in there for a while.
Yeah, no, you are.
You're just in there.
You are.
And poring over books and like then comes the decision of like, now I have a tower of books in my hand that make it difficult to see.
Yes.
And I have to be able to walk to the car without dying, so I have to put some back. Which ones do I buy?
Right.
You know, that right. that whole thing.
And forget about if the bookstore has a magazine area.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Yeah.
Well, and those are so slippery, too. Like, those will make your pile of books fall right over. So you got to be very careful how you distribute those. Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I'm buying a magazine. What is it, like $5? And it's like $25. And you're like, what the heck?
But you have such amazing magazines.
Yeah, I do love my magazines. So, you know, I love it. I love a good magazine.
There you go. There you go. They're really meaty, too.
Yeah.
Your magazines. They, they're not just like mostly ads.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my, you know, you're a witch if.
Excellent.
Yeah. I love sharing witchy reads.
Me too.
We should. We need to do a summer and a winter
we session.
We did a fall one last time. So yeah, thank you everybody for listening and go get some books.
Go get some books. Stay magical. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode.
If you loved this, please leave us a review. We can't wait to talk to you again next week.